Coming up on KSDP News, a regional reindeer herd is giving scientists something to think about, and federal budget cuts are threatening Alaska's weather forecasting and Medicaid programs. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on Tuesday, March 21st, 2017. Scientists believe reindeer are at risk as a warming world makes their main winter food source disappear. But as KUCB Zoe Sobel reports, reindeer on one Alaska island are surprising researchers.
You'd think it'd be easy to spot a herd of 400 reindeer on a treeless island with tundra as far as the eye can see. But it's not.
Yeah, they were right here.
That's Lauren Devine of the Ecosystem Conservation Office. She helps manage the reindeer on St. Paul Island, though on this windy day, she's hunting them. So far, no luck. Then a man who works in this remote area approaches our truck.
Yeah.
You see that green patch right there?
Yep.
We were just past it.
When?
About 2 hours ago.
Oh, perfect.
Reindeer aren't native to Alaska. They were brought to rural villages across the state in the late 1800s. In communities like St. Paul, where grocery prices are astronomical, Devine says residents depend on reindeer to feed their families. And to make it through the winter, the reindeer need something too.
Reindeer all over the world depend on lichen. They're very high in sugars and starch, and they're considered like a Snickers bar for reindeer in the winter.
But the reindeer ate the lichen here faster than it could regrow, and now it's gone. Without lichen, reindeer experts would expect to see malnourished or starving animals. In some places, that's already happening. But the animals on St. Paul are thriving. Greg Finstad is with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Reindeer Research Program. He came to study and evaluate the island's reindeer and environment. On a visit to St. Paul Island last year, he saw something he'd never witnessed before.
But the reindeer are doing something really very interesting. They have managed to find other things to eat. They've gone underground.
Finstad discovered instead of lichen, the reindeer are digging up roots and grazing on grass. He says that's good news. Lichens thrive in Arctic climates, but the Arctic is warming faster than the rest of the globe. These higher temperatures mean more wildfires, erratic rainfall, and better conditions for other plants that can crowd out the lichen. All of this could mean less lichen for reindeer. Plus, a warmer climate means what used to be snow is now rain. In Russia a few years ago, that created an icy barrier so thick the reindeer couldn't stamp through it to get to the lichen. Tens of thousands starved to death. That's why Finstad thinks it's important that the reindeer in St. Paul are finding something else to eat.
There's a lot of scientists, researchers, reindeer producers waving their arms in the world. Oh, climate change, it's the death of reindeer and caribou. But you know what? We have forgotten to tell the reindeer and caribou, things change, and they change with it.
I would say no.
Ecology professor Mark Boyce of the University of Alberta is not convinced.
In that, I mean, it's an island population and a very small sample of our global populations of reindeer and caribou, and the general pattern has been one of decline. So I guess I'm not very optimistic.
Still, on this Alaska island, for now, reindeer are doing just fine. And hunting them is more popular than ever. For NPR News, I'm Zoe Sobel in St. Paul.
Meanwhile, scientists who study the climate of the Arctic say their research will suffer if the Trump administration goes ahead with big budget cuts to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And as KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, they say the proposed cuts would also make it harder for meteorologists to forecast the weather in Alaska.
President Trump has made it clear he has doubts about climate change, and he's declared he'll reduce non-defense-related federal spending. So recent reports about big cuts under consideration for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, have generated a lot of anxiety among scientists who depend on the agency's satellites to study Arctic climate.
We are quite concerned about the possibility of losing an eye in the sky.
Mark Serez is a senior research scientist with the National Snow and Ice Data Center. He says cuts would cripple NOAA's satellite climate monitoring program that provide information to the Snow and Ice Data Center and many other research agencies.
Certainly, if there were steep budget cuts, then we and many others would really be hurting.
More importantly, Serez says the cuts would hamper research essential to meteorologists, especially those who predict weather in Alaska and offshore.
A lot of other people depend on this information. For example, if you want good weather models, good numerical weather prediction, you need to know what the sea ice cover is doing, where that sea ice is.
Zach Labe is a doctoral student with the University of California Irvine's Department of Earth System Science. He studies Arctic sea ice to, among other things, determine whether it influences weather in the middle latitudes.
Budget cuts to the satellite network will not only affect our climate monitoring, but will also affect weather monitoring.
Labe says the satellites are essential for researchers and weather forecasters here and worldwide.
There in Alaska, there are a lot of locations that don't have radar observations, Doppler radar for weather. Meteorologists in Alaska rely on the satellite network to provide weather forecasts.
And Serez says he thinks Congress wouldn't allow those kinds of cuts.
I strongly feel that what comes out of Congress is going to be quite different than what is proposed.
That's basically how Alaska's senior senator sees it.
Those deep reductions would have a negative impact on not only our nation, but specifically Alaska.
Karina Peterson is a spokeswoman for Senator Lisa Murkowski.
We rely on timely, accurate environmental monitoring and other services from NOAA that help to secure our communities and boost our economy.
Peterson says Murkowski agrees the federal budget needs to be trimmed, but she disagrees with these cuts.
Senator Murkowski will absolutely advocate for these programs within NOAA's budget that are key and important to Alaska.
The president's expected to send a budget to Congress later in the spring. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Alaska's top health official says the federal health care bill, scheduled for a vote on Thursday, would devastate the Medicaid program in the state. The bill's effect on Alaska has prompted Representative Dong Young to say he won't vote for it in its current form. APRN's Andrew Kitchiman has the story.
Alaska Health and Social Services Commissioner Valerie Nuchavlaluk-Davidson says the Republican bill, called the American Health Care Act, would hurt Medicaid in a few different ways. She says the bill shifts responsibility onto states at a time when Alaska can't afford it. Davidson says the state would have to cut eligibility and benefits in the program.
I get nervous every time I hear a member of Congress talking about the great savings to the Medicaid program, because what they're saying is it's a savings to the federal government, and they're not saying it's a savings to states. They're actually shifting that cost to states, and that's a problem for Alaska.
Currently, the federal government reimburses states based on their Medicaid costs. So when costs go up, so do the reimbursements. Under the bill, the federal government pays a fixed rate per person, and healthcare experts don't expect federal payment increases to match rising Medicaid costs. Davidson also is concerned that the bill would require people on Medicaid to apply twice a year rather than once annually. This will raise state costs to administer the program. But more importantly, the bill would cut federal reimbursements for patients who move on and off Medicaid as their income rises and falls.
That's particularly a problem for a state like Alaska, where we have a significant seasonal workforce.
Davidson noted that Medicaid expansion has brought nearly $400 million in health spending to provide care for more than 30,000 Alaskans. Nearly 150,000 more Alaskans receive Medicaid and could receive reduced services. Davidson's also skeptical of federal officials who say they want to give states more flexibility. She says it leaves states with bad choices.
We're the ones who get to be the bad guys, and we're the ones who have to make the tough decisions.
Alaska Congressman Don Young says he won't vote for the bill in its current form. Young says the federal share of Medicaid costs is one area under discussion this week before the House vote.
One of my frustrations in watching this bubbling cauldron of indecision is, in fact, this is part of the program that's going to be changed. And there's a lot of thoughts out there, a lot of deals, but I'm not going to put the burden back on the state.
Young wants to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, but he says the bill as drafted isn't fair to Alaska because it doesn't adequately recognize the very high costs of medical care in the state.
If I think that we've come together, the delegation has, on fair, equitable treatment to Alaskans, I'll probably vote for the bill. But if it's not there, I'll vote against the bill because it's really not the repeal of Obamacare as we originally said we were going to do.
Davidson says she's communicated her concerns to the state's delegation in Congress. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSDP 8:30 a.m.